Hello, this is Derek.
Hi, Mr. McHardy.
How you doing?
Pretty good. How about you?
Not too bad. Are we guys live on the air?
As soon as you called in, we were actually live a half hour before. As I was doing, I was giving you a big time build up, and you called right. Good Lord, you guys are EA, or you guys have an expensive watch on right now, don't you? Because
I have somebody who watches over my time schedule, because as you know, I'm Jamaican or half Jamaican, so my time schedule never works.
How? See, you can say that. I can't say that. If you guys did not know, which I'm sure you did, we're talking to Aaron McHardy, who is a gameplay producer over at EA. Are you at Tiburon, or who makes FIFA now?
I'm at EA Canada in Burnaby.
EA Canada. Oh, Tiburon's that. They make their football guys. I'm sorry. Oh, that's not. I did not start off well. It's not a good way to start the interview.
That's all right.
But you are the only member of the dev team that actually played like real football, right?
Well, I mean, a lot of guys on the team have played. I tried to make it my life, but the team is full of people who play football. I mean,
you played Olympic. You were on the Olympic level.
I played internationally for Jamaica at the under 21 level and the Olympic level, and I got one call up for the full squad, but I didn't get into the game. In fact, I didn't even make it on the bench. I was in the 23. So.
Please look. It's, how many people never get called? Billions. That's what you should look at. There are billions of people that never got called.
About that one.
And now you're in the game. How'd you get to be the gameplay producer over at EA Canada? What was that path like?
Wow, that's a long and convoluted path. But I grew up here in Vancouver. As I told you, I'm half Jamaican, so my dad was born and raised in Jamaica. So that whole soccer career thing was going on for most of my life, and periodically I'd end up back in Vancouver living here again. And in doing so, I got called in to do some motion capture, actually, for FIFA Street number 1 and number 2. And in doing that, I met a lot of the lead animators and producers on that team, and they were interested in bringing me on as my playing career was sort of coming to an end. So through that avenue, some long, convoluted other turns and twists, both at EA and in the professional world of soccer, I ended up back here a number of times, leaving and coming back to work doing mocap for the FIFA Street games, also working in quality assurance testing the games probably 5 or 6 years ago, working in marketing for a bit, and then on FIFA 08, I got my chance to step into a production role and jump onto the gameplay team, and I've been doing that ever since.
Nice. So they were like, dude, we need somebody to explain this offside stuff to us. We need to let's get Aaron on, because he knows he actually knows the rules of the game. Because like, I was playing others. Sometimes the guy was touching the ball with his hand. Sometimes he wasn't. I don't know which way to go. We need Aaron as a producer.
Something like that. Not quite that drastic, but something along those lines.
Now, how do you like being a gameplay? Like, do you like to like what does a gameplay producer actually do? Here's what I picture you doing. Since you're like the jock. I see you as the jock. And so you have a room with a leather couch and a giant TV screen where you basically play FIFA and watch like a ESPN3 and watch all the football games. And every once in a while, some guy comes in, some nerd comes in with a nerd. I'm one of them. Says, "Mr. McHardy, we need to. Can you show us how this works?" And you're like, "Yes. Here's how you do a dribble." And you do a little dribble or something, and you kick the ball at him. He's like, "Okay, thank you." And then he runs out, and you go back to watching TV. Is that what a gameplay producer does?
Well, you forgot the beautiful women with fans keeping us cool and keeping us great. But,
yes.
But you pretty much nailed it. No, being a producer at FIFA on FIFA is a fantastic job, and I'm really lucky to have it. But what it consists of is a lot of time spent with other producers, putting our heads together, trying to figure out what the best design for the game every year is going to be, how we think all of the components that we want to put into the game should work together. So a large portion of the cycle up front is figuring out the planning. How much can we do? What features do we need to do to make it the best possible game every year? Can we actually do that? Who are we going to need to do that to do all that work. And then once we got a plan, it's go time, and we get into the cycle, the production cycle, and we're working constantly with the engineers that we have, the animators that we have, development directors, technical directors, and everybody's sort of working together trying to build all of these conceptions that we've come up with for the game every year. And that's when people start knocking on the door and saying, how should this work? Except for it's usually not something simple like, how do you dribble someone? It's something very complicated that makes your brain hurt. Like, we got this problem with all this, with all the codes that we have here and this algorithm here, it conflicts with this and that, and it just gets complex. So we all work together to try and find the best solutions to make sure that the features that we imagine come to life when we put the game on the shelf every year.
Well, you were behind some of the new features in here, yes or no, if these belong to you, the new player collision stuff, where the guys jump over and they knock each other down and stuff.
So, I mean, technically, I'm the producer owner of it. I wouldn't say that it belongs to me solely. There's a lot of people.
Oh,
that
yes,
work
it's
on that
always feature. A. Of course, they're probably listening. So it's a team effort. There's no I in team, but we know where.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But yes, I'm the production owner of that feature as well. Do you want me to tell you a little about it?
Please. That was my segue. That was my smooth segue into the feature set of FIFA 12? Oh, I need to practice a little more. Uh-oh.
No, the player impact engine is big for us this year. I talked about in the job of being a producer is coming up with the best feature set that you can every year and trying to figure out if we can do all that work in 1 year. And this is one of those features that we wanted to do that we sat down and said, you know what, this can't really be done in 1 year. It's a lot of work. It's like one of the biggest changes we made to FIFA since we rebuilt the engine for the next-gen consoles. And so we made the decision a couple years ago that we needed to do this, so we were going to start work on it. And it was a sort of a two-year cycle, and we've been working on it for a long time, trying to get real-world physics into the game so that the players can react accurately to what you would expect to happen.
Now, this is the type of stuff that like Madden is doing, where it's like real tackling and like backbreaker football. I'm not supposed to talk about other companies' football, but like backbreaker football, where it's actual physics in there and not canned animation. Is that what we're talking about here?
That is what we're talking about, procedural animation. I'm not fully up to speed on how technically Madden has been solving all of their problems, but I know that the concepts and the ideas sort of stem from the same place. So I guess to give you a little bit of background on why we're doing this, I told you it's the biggest change we've made in a long time in FIFA. And I think the reason we did it was we needed to solve a bunch of problems that we had in the game, technical problems that we just couldn't solve. And I think the game was great last year, and our old collisions engine was fantastic, but there were some instances in the game where you were just pulled out of the moment for a second, and you didn't really look at the game and go, well, that was because the momentum was wrong on that collision, or the player played a wrong stumble animation. You didn't really know why, but you were just reminded that this is a video game.
And something clicked in your brain was like, that's not right. Like, that's something happened there. I'm
exactly.
Not sure what it is. That's not right. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there was a lot of technical limitations in our old system. Things like us having to figure out what the outcome of every collision was going to be on one specific frame. So we had a fraction of a second to figure out exactly how the two players should progress given any situation on the pitch. So what we've done is we've built an engine that is a lot more fluid and takes into account real-world physics. It understands the impacts that are happening on the body every single frame, every single part of the body, and it processes those in real time, which is incredible because it's kind of free and living when you think about it. Last year we had a lot of rules, and we did a lot of things to try and mask problems that we had technically. This year we're sort of taking the reins off and saying, let's do this, let's go real-world physics and let these guys resolve on their own and give us collisions, reactions to these collisions that are realistic according to the laws of physics. And as such, when you play the game, they play out in a realistic fashion, and it's quite cool what you get. And you really never know what you're going to get, which is the huge benefit we get.
That sounds kind of sounds computationally like intensive though. Is that going to hit the frame? Is that going to mess up the frame rate or anything? Right now, FIFA's it's really smooth. Are we going to be capped at 30 frames a second, or how's that?
So it will not affect the frame rate. The frame rate is not going to go down from last year. What it means is, which is part of the reason why I had opened up saying that this was a project that we just couldn't do in 1 year. It's a huge project. So there's a lot of work that's gone into optimizations and making things run faster so that we don't hit the frame rate. And we still deliver our 60 frame per second game, and it looks fantastic and works as such.
Okay, we also have...
But to tell you...
I'm sorry. Go ahead. You continue. You're the guest. Go for it.
Just to tell you a little bit more about the benefits you get from the system. One is the obvious one, which is things are realistic. But when you think about last year's game, as I mentioned, we had one frame and we made a decision on one frame, and then we chose an animation for the two players that are involved in the collision, or three, or whatever it may be. And we played that animation. And we used things like blipping and... interesting ways to avoid players getting tangled up or colliding or doing things that didn't look correct in last year's game. So last year, a lot of the time you get situations where maybe a player would launch a tackle, and because of the stumble that we select, the player who's stumbling or falling actually clips through the leg of the tackler. Or we don't find the perfect asset to play, so we get really close, so you get a situation like I was describing earlier where it looks correct, but something about it just doesn't match what your mind thinks should be happening. And we call that momentum. So one of the benefits we get of this new player impact engine is that the momentum of the players is preserved in all times. And you also get real-time deformation of the rig, to throw a big word at you. But what that is... our animation rig, meaning the player's model, is actually bending and changing procedurally, not according to what the animation data is playing. So that means that physics has an opportunity to get in there, do what should be happening as according to the laws of physics. And what it means is you don't get limbs clipping through one another anymore. Instead, the body will turn and twist as a real player would if it was collided with, to try and get itself out of that situation, as well as preserve momentum. So what you get is a much realistic picture of what's going on. Every single contact is accounted for and displayed on the screen for you, in front of you.
Well, it sounds like other EA games are going to be stealing. Like, it's going to be showing up in EA MMA and probably Battlefield 4 or something.
Yeah, I think we have a strong central team called... we call EA Tech, that's done a lot of work on this. So there is interest from other games, and I'm sure that at some point they'll be tapping our shoulders and looking for help, as we have done from other games that sort of blazed the trail before us. Fight Night has used some of this technology, and some of the technology that we're using has been derived from that as well. Granted, it's gone in a completely different direction to really fit the needs of our game, but there is a lot of sharing that goes along at this studio amongst all of our studios as well. So we definitely try and help our brothers out.
Now, we have a few more easy questions, because before we get to the user questions, the listener questions, which are a lot more specific than my questions. So I just want you to be prepared for that. Tell us a little bit about the whole fight for possession stuff, the 360-degree fight for possession. That's a big thing this year.
Yes. So last year's feature was the 360-degree fight for possession, but this year we sort of advanced it a little bit. So we're not really calling it the same name. Last year was the ability for you to be able to push players from any different angle and actually affect what's going on. This year we sort of, as I mentioned, because of the player impact engine, everything happens in real world physics. So we've added a bunch of features to sort of augment that, and they sort of live together in what David Rutter, our line producer, he likes to call the holy trinity of features, which is tactical defending, precision dribbling, and the player impact engine. So what I think you're referring to is how tactical defending and player impact engine work together.
That's exactly what I'm referring to.
Those fights for possession. So tactical defending is a new way to defend in FIFA. And basically what it is we've removed last year's pressing functionality, which a lot of our fans referred to as the heat-seeking missile. And that was because as soon as you held down the A button or the X button, whichever console you're playing on, your defender would beeline it straight at the dribbler and totally automated, run straight at the dribbler, target him, and as soon as he got close, he would automatically launch a tackle. which took a little bit of the skill and the fun and the art of defending out of the game. So we wanted to introduce that back into the game. So what we did was we removed that pressing functionality and we put tackling onto a button press. So now that decision to move in and tackle is all in the hands of the gamer. And what that does is it introduces timing into the game, which is a new interesting way to create new opportunities in the game as well. You can imagine 1v1 situations where I'm dribbling at a defender. In last year's game, you couldn't really knock a ball right by the defender's toe because as soon as the ball entered this aura of tackle coverage that the defender had, we would automatically launch a tackle. Now that that timing is in the hands of the gamer, both human gamer and the CPU opponent that is playing against you, there's that possibility to catch that person off guard and be able to cut sharply and get by somebody just dribbling using the left stick. So it creates these new opportunities on the ball for this year's game. But to bring it all back around to what you're asking about this fight for possession, when we put that feature in, I guess it was last November or December when we were first toying with the idea, the first thing we noticed was, well, shielding is dead in the game because the gamer often, well, we have a lot of vindictive people on our team. We have an Argentinian who likes to hack people down and stuff like that. So last year we had such systems in the game that would prevent you from tackling through the back of the dribbler. This year it was a free-for-all because it was all in the control of the gamer of when you choose to tackle. So it felt like shielding sort of disappeared from the game, and that fight from possession really disappeared. So, again, to bring this all back down to the original question, we've introduced a lot of new features to recreate what a real footballer would do in those situations where you might request a tackle, but you're not really in a good position to tackle. So contextually, we understand that, and we, let's say you're chasing the dribbler just off of his shoulder or just behind him. Now if you press the tackle button, you'll get a push or a pull. So your player will reach out and try and tug that opponent to try and slow him down a little bit or make him take a bad touch. Just try to offsettle the dribbler so that you could potentially get in and win possession in a few steps. Obviously, pushing and pulling, unless it's a shoulder challenge, is against the rules. You have to be careful that you're not too aggressive or the referee will blow you a foul for it. But it creates this new interesting dynamic in that fight for possession that allows you to do something when you're running a player down to try and slow his progress and try and do something for your team to really get back into the fight. So there's a lot of cool new things there that we've added to the game to try and bolster the defending system and make it an art form. And then when you couple that with the stuff that we've done on the player impact engine and how those things live together, you really get this new interesting battle. Gone are the days of these robotic jostling animations. Now it really feels like you're fighting for possession, arms flailing, guys looking to tug somebody back, players trying to push a player off, and it really creates this new dynamic in the game.
Now what about, you're saying making it more realistic, what about ping pong passing? Because that's been an issue for a while now where you just hit a button and boom, it goes to the other guy. Hit a button. It doesn't really fit with the whole realism part, but it makes it a lot easier for players like me who aren't that good to play the game. Is that type of thing still in there, or is that like something that you can put out during, like take out during options or some, or via options or stuff like that, or how does that work?
So 2 years ago, I think we had a big problem in that people were complaining when they play online that it what you're describing, ping pong passing, it was the ability for you to just continually press the passing button and automatically get these laser beam passes that reach their target, and they're super accurate no matter what angle you're passing from. And this was a problem that we had because of the way the game was built and architected, and the way the games, really football games, have been built and architected for some time. In that, if you make passing extremely difficult, as it's a fundamental component of football, it's very difficult for people to pick up the game and find enjoyment early. So it was always a constant battle where, in, you know, 2-3 years ago, we'd been talking about, you know, we really want to introduce more error into the passing system, contextual error, so we understand the circumstances and make passes go astray like they do in the real world to create some variety in the game. But we were always scared to do that because of the way that our system was built, that the defending was so sharp. And as I mentioned, we had that automated tackling system where players would beeline it for the dribbler, which meant that the minute something went astray, you would lose possession, and it just wasn't really that much fun because if there was that much error in it, you really couldn't string passes together to create an opportunity at goal.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, you have a controller. You're not actually kicking. You're trying to do all this with a controller, and you're not going to be. If you take those types of control, you take those types of layers out, it becomes impossible to be accurate at all.
Exactly. Okay. You don't have your brain on a pitch where you can choose to run and how high to put your foot and all that. You have four face buttons, two triggers, two shoulder buttons, and a couple of sticks. So there's not a one-to-one translation of what happens in the real world of football and what happens in the video game. Obviously, we try and recreate that as much as we can, but it's very difficult. But having said that, last year, we introduced something called pro passing. And what that was the ability for you to get a lot more air into the game, into the passing game. And it was based around this idea of us wanting to really eliminate that ping-pong passing, because that isn't really football, and that's not the way football is played. So last year we did a lot of work to eliminate those 180-degree passes where a player would have a ball coming directly at him, spin on an axis, and kick the ball perfectly in a direction behind him.
I need that.
So we did
though.
That last year. Hello?
I need that. That helps me a lot when I can do that in a game.
Sorry, I thought you were breaking up there. we added that to the system last year. But again, we could only go so far because of the reasons that we had our defending system the way it was. Things like overhitting passes or a lot of angle error on passes was still very detrimental to the way the game played. This year, the game has opened up a lot. And I think tactical defending, we can talk about it here. And I can tell you about how it's different in terms of having to time your tackles and not getting that heat-seeking missile running straight at the dribbler. But until you pick up the game and you actually play it, you don't really realize how different gameplay is this year to last. And it really opens up new spaces on the pitch, which, of course, allows us to do more interesting things in terms of error. So we've done a lot of tuning in the passing system and the error system to try and get some more of that behavior. And we've also created a suite of gameplay sliders, which allows you to go in and customize the game how you want. Some of our more hardcore gamers love the idea of being able to go in and add more error on every pass so that they can make a more challenging sim. And some of our newer users don't like it because they have struggle coping with the passing system. So we've included a whole suite of sliders where you can go and tune the way the game plays to try and get the behavior that you want out of it when you're playing the game.
Now, how are you guys worried? Because a lot of people think FIFA 11 is probably one of the greatest soccer games of all time, and now you guys are changing the fundamental ways. Are you guys worried that there'll be a backlash, or are you 100% certain that like this is the way that everybody's going to love it?
it's a tough question, and I guess it goes back to your first comments of what's the job of a producer. Are we 100% sure? Never. It's like any kind of art form. You always have this doubt in your mind of will people like it. But we've been doing this for 5-6 years, and I think when we put out FIFA 9, I remember sitting there with Gary Patterson going, oh man, how are we going to top this next year? And then we go back to the drawing board, and we come up with a set of features, and we get FIFA 10, and we felt like we topped it. And again, people were asking us, how are you going to top FIFA 10? And we went away, and we came up with the features that we felt we needed, and we brought out FIFA 11. I think it's very much the same for this year. I don't think our fans want to see us rest on our laurels, as it were, and release the same game with a roster update. They want to get a new game. They have FIFA 11 already. So we made some of the biggest changes that we've ever made to the game, and it's really different this year. I think it's a fantastic game. It's going to be better, but it means that if you got FIFA 11, you still are going to want to go out and get FIFA 12 because it's that different and it's cool and it's going to be better as well. So we're excited for it this year because it is a leap forward and in evolution, a lot of innovation going into the game, and not just putting out the same game that's been there. We're sort of breaking the molds.
Now the easy stuff is gone. All the stuff that that the PR guy had written down for you, can't use that anymore because we're going to the listener questions.
We don't use that stuff anyway. They get mad at us because we never do.
And now we have questions from not only the DPL community, the chat room here, also in the forum. We also have questions from places like Big Soccer Forum, the EA Sports Forum, the ton of forums. So we'll start right now. First question from White Warriors from Big Soccer. He wants to know, just wondering if career mode will be more of a manager type game. Will there be more of a manager type game set up in there? Like, can you get traded to different leagues, etc.?
So, career mode is undergoing a lot of changes this year too, which is really cool. And again, I talk about how big this game is compared to last year and the amount of changes going on. I think it's all over the shop from the way the game looks, the way the game plays in gameplay, to a lot of things we're doing in online and other places, and career mode. We're doing a lot in career mode. Again, I'm not the gameplay, I'm not the career mode producer, so I'll try and let you know as much as I can.
Can I throw away my football manager titles? Can I throw those away and just use FIFA 12 for it?
I'll leave that, you guys to be the judge when it comes out. But I'll tell you what we're doing here. What we're trying to do is we're trying to make the game translate a lot better from career mode into gameplay, so you really feel the effects. So we've done a lot of things to try and work on some of the mechanics that you feel that you manage in a career mode, things like player morale, the match importance, so how players are playing, their form. All of these things are going to be factors this year and affect how players play in the back end when you get into gameplay. So you'll have to consider things like your team success, the players' roles in squads, their contract, how much playing time they'll get, to try and keep your players happy, as a real manager will.
Can your player's wife like be caught in bed with her with a teammate, and all of a sudden your scores go way down because you're so upset about your home life?
I don't know that we have that exact situation, but you're getting the drift of it. Things do happen to affect the players' morale. Most of them are on the pitch things. But things like a player wanting a change, wanting to play for a new squad, other things like that will affect his morale. And this will in turn affect his attributes and how he will play in game. And then, of course, how you play in game affects your form. And this, again, will have an effect in the game as far as management goes. So keeping your players happy, not wanting them to leave your club, trying to get them to come and sign for your club if they're unhappy elsewhere. All of these things have a lot more of a deep component rooted in what happens on the pitch this year.
For the record, that was an actual question brought up by Broxy Bear in the forum. I did not make that question up about sleeping with a teammate.
You cut out on me there.
An actual user had that question about sleeping with a teammate, teammate's wife.
Yeah, right, Derek. We know that was you.
Okay.
But going further, to tell you a little bit more about the career mode, media interaction is another piece that will come to play this year. You'll have the opportunity to interact with the media, make decisions that, again, will affect all of those factors of your players, like morale, how up they are for matches, their form, and all these things have an impact in game. It also has an impact in the metagame that happen in career mode, things like transfers, whether your players will up and say to you, hey, I want to transfer now because I'm not happy here, or whether it's easy for you to entice players to come to your club because they're interested in playing for you. A lot of work has gone into the things that we've read on the forums from our gamers that they're passionate about in our systems, like transfer systems, our contract systems. They've all been reworked. Things like the CPU now being able to bid on players that you haven't listed as transfer players, or the CPU not just bidding the real-world value for your player. He'll underbid or overbid, and you have to make these conscious decisions. So I guess the general message from career mode and what we're doing in career mode this year is that we want to try and make the game deep and immersive so that you really feel like you're in this world, and that translates onto the pitch as well. So you're really enchanted by this whole career mode and the decisions you have to make as a manager in control of your team.
Cool deal. I think that was a very in-depth. I'm guessing that White Star Warrior will be happy with that answer. Derek English wants to know, two-part question. He wants to know, are you making any changes to the Defender and Goalie AI? Everybody always hates Goalie AI. And are you also fixing the 45 and 90th minute glitch?
So I'm not too sure which glitch he's talking about, the 45 and 90th minute glitch. I don't know if he can clarify that over the forum. But as far as goalkeeper and Defender AI, yeah, absolutely. We've been talking a lot this year and even this phone call about the big features, the big three features in gameplay, but it's very important for everybody to know that fundamentals of football are what got us where we are in terms of our game, and we totally haven't forgotten about that. We still focus on all the fundamentals. It's just there's so much going in this year that it's hard to talk about everything. But absolutely, with the new tactical defending, obviously, there's more of an importance on the shape of the team be correct. So we put a lot of work into the positioning and the defensive positioning, the marking assignments of players, the backline shape, which sometimes got out of sorts last year, to try and make the game so that your teammates are always in a good position when you switch to them, so that they're not leaving players onside, allowing easy balls through or over the top for strikers. They're tracking their runners, and we've done a ton of work in the positioning system to try and improve those things. And I believe the other one was the goalkeeper who was talking about. And yeah, again, still working on the goalkeeper. Obviously, still fixing lots of bugs. We've done a lot of work on improving his intelligence on finesse shots, so he understands the curl a little bit better and is able to fix, able to save some of those finesse shots that he struggled with last year. We put a whole new suite of reflex saves into the game, so he's got a whole bunch of new animations for reflex saves. We're constantly fixing a lot of bugs that are probably a little bit too technical for me to bother getting into here, but to improve the general intelligence in situations where he second guesses himself and maybe runs to the wrong position or struggles to save a ball that seems easy. And we've also added a couple new features that we haven't talked much about. One of them is pickup ball. So something that's been kind of missing from the game for years was the ability for the goalkeeper to pick up a ball that the opposition has played into his area. So we now have the ability for him to do that. And we've also added something we've been calling anytime lock, which is the ability for you to switch to the goalkeeper from regular 11v11 gameplay where you're controlling the whole team. It used to be that you had to choose the be a pro mode or be a goalkeeper mode to actually play with the keeper. Now, from regular gameplay, you can switch to the keeper to bring him out and rush or make decisions on your own and take the reins as a goalkeeper if somebody's in on a breakaway. So that's kind of a cool new feature that I think people will love to play around with.
We also have in the live chat room right now, AGN number 504 asks, is there any CONCACAF Champions League or UEFA, UEAFA, champions license? Second, is budget allocation returning to FIFA 12?
Sorry, what was the last question?
Is budget allocation returning to FIFA 12? Because that's for the career, for the management plan.
So, as for the licensing things, we don't have the Champions League license. Konami has bought that license, I think.
Damn Dad PES. It, so. Oh, Pro Evolution. Damn you. Damn you to hell.
So they have that license, so we don't have that license in the game. And we do not, I believe, have the CONCACAF Champions League license. But we do have some cool things that I unfortunately can't talk about just yet.
Aww.
So keep your eyes peeled on ways that we can get all of those great teams into a tournament structure in career mode. I've said too much already, but keep posted, and I'll come back to that in a couple months if you come back to me, or maybe not even so long. As for budgets, there's been a lot of work in career mode to tune the budgets to be more realistic values. And we've removed the limitation of reallocating between transfer spend and wages, which I think is what your fan there was asking about. So we have removed that limitation. And it's easier to see where current spends will differ from the start of the season. So I think the work that we've done in career mode on budget will be appreciated as far as the questions that your fan there had.
Well, not my fan, your fan. Please. I'm pretty sure he's not calling him here to listen to me talk. He wants to hear what you have to say. FM Fanboy wants to know. He says, "Hi, Aaron." Oh, yes, he's a nice guy. "Hi, Aaron. I myself laid on quite a bit of criticism for the handballs in FIFA 11 with some decisions being unfair and ruining the game. Have you improved the intelligence of referees regarding handballs this year?"
Yeah, so handballs is a tough one for us, and it always has been, which is why handballs are defaulted to off. And the main reason for this is the players on the pitch don't have the intelligence that a real-world player has to try and remove their hand from situations where they may contact the ball and give up a handball. So we've always felt that it's until we can get to that level of intelligence for the players, it's difficult for us to blow a handball by default. Having said that, last year we put in the option that you could turn on handballs, and I think it was quite cool because a lot of people wanted to see that. But again, it poses a lot of problems because there are going to be handballs that it's tough for us to penalize the gamer for because of the way that it happened, i.e. a player's trying to kick the ball and it deflects off somebody and hits the player's hand, bounces to a teammate right in front of goal, and they get an opportunity, which maybe we get called in the real world, but it's tough for us to penalize the user for something they haven't done. Okay, that's the difficulties out of the way. Now the good news. We have done a lot of work to try and improve the referee's intelligence in terms of handballs. We've added some concepts like whether the player had moved his hand to the ball or the ball had struck his hand from a shot or a pass or what have you. And we've also had some intelligence added to make a judgment on how close that player's hand is to his body, or if his arm is down by his side, it's less likely to be called. Whereas if his arm's above his head and he happens to bat the ball and it's quite obvious, he's more likely to be called. So we've removed some of the limitations. We were very conservative in what we called previously, and now we're trying to be more intelligent in how we do it. But it is a very difficult problem. One, the main reason is because, as I said before, these players don't have the intelligence to move their hand out of the way, and it's something we just don't have the time to implement in the game just yet. But there are some improvements, and actually, just today, the engineer who is responsible for it was working on that. So there are things going into the game that I think will keep you happy.
That guy's probably goes home every night crying. He's like, "I can't fix handballs. It's not my fault. The players just aren't smart. Why do they keep complaining?" And then you're just sitting back, "All right, go fix it. Go fix it, Bob." Okay, this question will be this actual question will actually remove a bunch of questions because a lot of people ask the same thing. This is very big for the community. One question is why so few international teams, and another question is will there be more international teams? It's the same question.
So I can touch on it a little bit. I can't tell you which teams will and will not be in the game.
Yes, you know which ones are going to be in the game. Give me one again. Give me one. Just one.
One team that will be in the game?
No, one international team that the new international team that's going to be in the game.
I can give you five, but they're the obvious ones. Brazil is going to be in the game. England's going to be in the game. In any case, the reason that we struggle to get all of the international teams is it's actually a licensing logistical problem in terms of what our licenses allow us to do. So in order to get the rights to have these teams in the game, we have to approach every single nation independently to try and get that license. So it's quite difficult. Now, what I will say is we have a team full of people, our database collection team and our licensing team, that are dedicated to trying to get the best, the most full experience for our fans and try to get as many players, authentic teams, and nations in the game as possible. So we're doing our best to get as many as we can. I can't tell you exactly who's in it, going to be in it for this year.
Any more leagues? They would like to see... well, Godzilla 63 especially would like to see the J-League put in there.
Again, can't comment on all the teams and leagues that are in there. And again, I just want to remind you that later on we can tell you a little bit more cool information about that, but I can't talk about that yet either. But there is some cool stuff coming about that.
No J-League. I'm sad. Godzilla 63 is going to cry. Funk 43 wants to know, can you edit player? See, this is when you know. When I read this question, I was like, "This is when you know you have a good game." When it gets to this level of question, you know you've done a good job. Can you edit players' boots, sleeves, etc., and stadium names during career mode?
Again, I'm not the career mode producer, so I don't know exactly what's editable and not this year. However, again, this goes back to that one thing which you guys are honing in on that I can't talk about, and I'm worried I'm going to give up too much. There are some really cool things on that front coming. I just can't talk about them yet. I'm really sorry.
Bert in chat says, why can't you fake the uniforms? Because he'll take a fake team. If you can't license the country, can you like say, that's not a red shirt. That's a maroon shirt that we have on the guy.
Obviously, we're trying to bring the most authentic experience. So the more fake players and fake teams you have in the game, it would detract from that. We want to bring all licensed team information to the fans.
Xenocore in chat keeps asking me, he says, as a fellow Jamaican, are you going to use pica pepper sauce as a short-term energy boost for stamina?
Tell him I prefer root spine with peanut.
But that brings up another question. You're not going to go toward the power boost thing, or there's never going to be a FIFA game with power ups on the ground or any goofy way to artificially inflate a player's ratings for a short term, or are you going to do that?
So I guess the rule is never say never.
Oh.
But we don't have that in the plans for this year.
Oh, that's good. Whew. You guys aren't making another FIFA Street, are you? Are you making another FIFA Street? Is there another one of those coming down?
Sorry, I didn't hear that question.
Are you guys making another FIFA Street anytime soon?
Again, I can't answer that question.
That means you know the answer,
again,
but you
can't. I never want to say never, but I'm not going to comment on that right now.
Oh, that means you know, you just won't say that. But okay. Wolf Alpha says, will there be new deals available in the transfer market? Swaps, players, cash, etc. People love the career mode, as you can tell, and the management stuff.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of work on that. So things like, as I mentioned before, the CPU player bidding on players you have not listed. CPU bidding under and over player value. So also the CPU being able to aggressively try and go after your players with repeated bids. So other things that are going into are the ability for you to sit on offers. So one of the problems that you had last year was an offer would come in and you had to decide right then and there if you wanted to take that player or not. So you had to, if you decided not to take that player, that offer would go away and it was done. Now you have the ability to sort of wait. Our loan players now have the option to buy at the end of a loan. So if you have a player on loan, you have the option to try and keep him on your club afterwards. Players in the transfer market will be more intelligent with the decisions of where they want to go to. So the factors that they're considering, of whether or not they want to go to that club, they're thinking about what country is in it, how good is the team that I'm playing for, what position of players do they have on that team. So all these things he's considering to try and make the mode much deeper. And I'm sorry, I'm just trying to throw as much transfer information at you for what we're doing in career mode to try and hopefully answer all the questions that are out there, I know. Which brings me to one of the other cool, really cool things that we're adding in career mode this year, which is transfer day deadline. So at the end of the transfer window every year, or twice a year, I should say, there is this deadline day drama that you think about. Players have this last day where you usually see a couple blockbuster deals happen. And in the game, we've tried to recreate that moment by slowing down time for that last day of the transfer window. So you actually play the 8 hours of the day step by step. So the day will progress hour by hour instead of the whole day, which allows for a lot of wheeling and dealing and a lot of action in the transfer window. And, of course, all the work that we've done already to try and make that action realistic really brings this deadline day transfer moment to life. And it's quite exciting, the stuff that's happening in transfers this year in the game.
Nice. Okay. A Long December wants to know, he says, well, this is more of a statement than a question, but I'll let it slide. He says, please, please make sure player growth is definitely fixed and done properly. It's a big thing for as players get older and go through they grow and deteriorate. Is that changed any?
So another thing that we've worked on in career mode as well, The rate at which players grow is much faster, and old players will deteriorate. So I think we've covered that one off there.
Okay. So that okay. White December, you will be happy. Okay.
We've also, just to throw in one more little tidbit. We also actually, one of the problems that we had is being able to see what the growth is doing. The growth system was there already. We've done work to fix it so it works better. But we've also added a new screen so you can go in really and see the growth of players, and it really brings that feature to the forefront so you can really understand what's going on underneath.
1010-17 wants to know if you're going to put the Creation Center on the disk or you're going to keep it on the web. Because every time he went online, he didn't know how to download. That's just your own. You read the instructions. But Creation Center, on the disk or stay on the web?
Unfortunately, Creation Center is a topic that I've been told I'm not allowed to talk about today.
That means it's on the web.
But you can come back and check with us in a little bit, and we'll tell you all about it.
Oh, you know, I know. I see. Okay, you're not going to say, I know why. Because today, EA released something that said that they're going toward a system where, like, they're going to make, like, games like FIFA and Madden, where you guys, like, FIFA's coming out on the 360 and the PS3, and it doesn't matter, by the way, but 360 and the PS3. But they're doing a thing where they're going to be selling the game. Like, you buy the game once, and you can play it on both systems. Like, are you aware? Are you do you know anything about that new development?
I don't really know anything about that. I've not heard that internally, so I don't know that that's
Ooh, I have an exclusive on you. I know something that you.
Say again?
I have an exclusive on you. Then that's exciting. That's good. Yeah. So basically, let me. Blah, 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 blah. Real quick, I will give you something to go yell at your bosses about. Basically, yeah, you'll be able to buy the game once. Not this year, but next year and year after that, you'll be able to buy the game once and play it over a bunch of different systems, like PS3. Basically, digital downloads, I think, is where they're going. Is FIFA going to – will I be able to buy FIFA only on disc, or will I be able to get digital downloads for FIFA on PS3 and Xbox? I know for PC, I'll be able to go through the Origin system more than likely, but what about for the consoles?
That's true. So for the console, then we'll be selling on discs again this year. But again, as you mentioned, for PC, which will have total parity to our 360 and PS3 game this year, you'll be able to go to the Origin site and download that. And actually for Mac as well.
Which version is the best?
Say again?
Which is the best version? Which I only have
They're
60.
All
I only have
exactly
$60.
The same.
I have
so
a PC.
There's
I have
power
a...
parity on all the consoles.
Okay. Which one do you play the most?
That's a good question. So we have our team divided up on all the consoles, so everybody's playing on different consoles to make sure we get coverage on everything. But obviously, in my job, I have to play them all. I'm not sure if I have a preference.
You're slick. You are good, Mr. McCarty. You are good. Okay, Adelante once says, ask him about CPU positioning and player runs. How they plan on improving them this year? You already went through a little bit of that, but can you go into any more detail?
Yeah, so I touched a bit on the defensive side, but I'll go into the more attacking side of things because I believe that's what the question was directed at. Again, late stages of the project is usually when we do all of our positioning tuning, so we're kind of in that time now, so it was an aptly timed question. I think some of the big things that we're working on is players getting into the box when you're getting down the line instead of coming wide to be able to support. But having said that, we have another feature that we're calling Pro Player Intelligence. And what this is making the players on your team as well as the CPU player aware of what they're good at. So you can imagine you have Peter Crouch in your team, who's, I think he's 6'13" or something like that. Big, tall player, he knows he's a threat in the air, so you get the ball out wide. He's going to be doing the work to get himself into the box where he knows he's dangerous. Whereas if you have a much smaller striker, maybe Hernandez at Manchester United or something like that, he might make a different decision in a given situation and come out wide to try and support because he knows he's not really effective in the air. So there's an intelligence aspect to all of the positioning that we've been adding this year. And again, I can only touch on a couple of the things that we're doing in terms of aerial threat players like I just talked about, because we'll be talking more about it in the coming days. there's that aspect of it, so players will have more intelligence of what they're good at and try and play to their strengths. But there's also the general positioning aspect of it, and we're constantly tuning the game, working on trying to get players forward on runs in situations where it's accurate and intelligent for them to make those runs, and trying to get them to come and support in situations where we think that a support play is better than going on a run. But as I said, a lot of that tuning is happening right now, so I can assure you there's a lot of work going into the positioning system on both sides of the ball, and we're trying to make that the best we could possibly be.
Cool. Well, we're quickly running out of time, so I'm going to try to speed through these other ones. Burr wants to know, he's also in chat, but he sent this one in earlier. He says, as a Boca Juniors fan and an Argentinian, I have to ask this. Now that River Plate has been relegated to the top division, will they still be in FIFA? And what about adding other Argentine teams like Estudiantes, Vélez, and San Lorenzo?
Again, I can't comment on which teams are in and which teams are out, so they're going to have to stick around and wait till the game's released to get that information. But yeah, that's about as much as I can.
Well, are you guys going to be releasing a list of teams before the game, so like people will know, like people won't have to guess when they go to buy. Like, is my team going to be in it? Like, not here on DPL, but sometimes before. Or will they have to wait?
Sometimes before, that information should be available to the public, so you don't have to go to the store and take a gamble. We try and release all the information that we can about the game leading up to it, but unfortunately we have timelines and licensing agreements about what we can and can't say at certain times of the year.
Burr also asks, why aren't some of the stadiums that are found in Madden and NCAA used in FIFA? Like Seattle's Quest Field, New England's Gillette Stadium, Houston's Reliant Stadium, the Rose Bowl, blah blah blah. They're all used for MLS soccer matches in America, yet they still play in generic teams in the game and generic arenas in the game.
Yeah, so we try and do as much as we can to get as many authentic environments into the game every year. But there's always a cost associated with that, and there's always a licensing issue and a disk space issue on getting as many stadiums as we can. So we have to balance that against other features as well as other time spent in the game to improve visual quality and other things. So we try and do our best to include the most authentic set and get as many stadiums as we can for the fans. But everybody's a fan of a different team. So if we had every stadium in the world, it would never fit on the disc. And we, unfortunately, it's tough for us to please everybody on that one.
And it's a problem when you're the most popular game in the world. When you're the most popular game of the most popular sport. Things like that tend to happen. But you guys do already have, like, is it not just the fact that you have the code for, you have the model for another game? It's like you still have to get a licensing deal for FIFA for it to be in the game.
Correct.
Broxy Bear wants to know, will there be an online pass requirement for online play? That's a big topic now.
Sorry, what was the question again?
Will there be an online pass requirement for online play?
So online, unfortunately, is the other area of the game that I'm not allowed to talk about yet. So you're going to have to come back and check back with us in about a month for that answer as well.
Oh, now we're getting into good stuff, guys. When we start getting those answers, that's when you know. I'll throw an easy one at you. Will FIFA 12 have Kinect support? Please say no.
FIFA 12 will not have Kinect support.
Oh, you're my favorite person.
But we will have it in FIFA 13.
What? Explain that, please, Mr. McCarty. Am I going to have to be running around my apartment kicking pillows around and stuff? How's that going to work?
Well, we have as yet to design the feature, so I can't tell you what the feature set is, but I know Peter Moore's been on record saying that we will support it in FIFA 13, so we will.
I like that. He's like, Peter Moore says it's going to happen, so it's going to happen. Okay. I'm guessing goalie. I can see goalie stuff, but I'm a big guy. I can't dribble. I can't I would end up breaking my flat screen.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, if anybody's got good ideas, get onto the forums and start typing them so we can get all your feedback when we're coming up with designs for next year.
A couple more questions, then I'll let you go. I know you were you heartbroken when, well, you don't care. You're like, I don't care about the women. You guys don't. Do you care about the women's league and what happened on Sunday when the United States got
the women's match in Japan-US?
Yeah, that was a great game, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a fantastic game. Well, a fantastic tournament, not just the game.
So. Oh, the Brazilians! Will there be something in FIFA where I can fake an injury and then get taken out on a stretcher, and then as soon as the ball is put back in play, jump off the stretcher and jump back in the game? Will that be a feature in FIFA 12?
We won't have any features where you can fake injuries, but injuries is an interesting topic. We do have a whole new set of injuries. I talked about the player impact engine earlier in the call, and one of the cool new features that we get, player impact engine is a feature that sort of lays a foundation for us to build a lot of cool new features in the future. And this year we wanted to try and bring one of those in. So one of the cool features that we get this year is something that we're calling true injuries. So basically, as I mentioned, in the player impact engine, we're harvesting information about every single impact of every single limb on the body and the torque that's applied to every joint. And what we do is we have a system, an injury system, that takes all that information, processes it, and understands if the body has suffered a trauma that is greater than the human body can handle, and therefore we can make that player injured. So what you get is an injury system that is a lot more accurate to the real world, and also feeds into our career mode system this year. As I mentioned, in career mode, we're trying to make the gameplay link heavily with career mode so that you really feel the impact of your decisions that you make. And one of the ways we're doing that this year is in injuries, in that you'll have the decision on whether or not you want to play a player that is partially recovered or almost fully recovered, and make that decision. You know, team might have a match on Wednesday, a match on Saturday, another match on Wednesday, match the following Saturday, and you have to rest these players, and they get injured, you've got a big match, do you play that player and run the risk of him re-injuring himself? So you can imagine that you play a player early, maybe 2 weeks before he's ready. We know which part of his body is injured, and therefore when we get trauma on that part of the body, you can increase the likelihood that it's re-injured, as it is in the real world. You go back with something not fully healed, it's likely that you're going to re-injure yourself. So all of that stuff sort of played out this year, interestingly with career mode, but also in a realistic fashion, which kind of adds another layer of depth to our injuries.
Will there be a women's FIFA release later?
Nothing has been planned, but like I said, never say never.
here was my idea, because I knew that was going to be the answer. That's like asking, is there going to be a WNBA game? It'd be great, but I don't think there's a lot of money in it. Here's the thing, though. You guys have this cool personality plus. You have player creation. I could create a team. Just all you need to do is add, let me be able to put boobies on the players, and they already have long hair. Boom, I can make my own women's team.
I'll pass that one on to our rendering crew.
Yeah, I don't need huge, like, freaking Dead or Alive style boobies or King of Fighters. I just need, like, you know, just regular. And boom, all of a sudden, everything else is already there. Boom, make my own team, play online. That's actually a good idea. Wow. Dude,
like I said, never say never.
Yeah, I mean, that could be a DLC. That would be great. What kind of DLC are we looking at? Are we looking at stadium DLC? Are we looking at team DLC or what? Not, please don't say zombie DLC.
It's tough to talk about all the DLC. DLC sort of is after ship stuff. So I can't really comment on it all right now.
Oh, but no zombie soccer. There's not going to be
no zombie soccer.
Okay.
Not that I've heard of yet.
Okay, I think we said we're going to have you for 45 minutes. We're probably have you for an hour. So I'm going to – one last question from KaneFan31. He wants to know – if you guys have, in chat, have any questions, throw them up. KaneFan wants to know – let me look at this one. How do you feel – I know how this one's going to go too. How do you feel about quitters online, and if there's any way they could do something about people quitting during a game, rage quitting? That's a age old question right there for online gameplay.
The age old question. Yeah, it's totally valid question, and I can tell you what our online producers are conscious of this problem and have done some things to improve the problem. Unfortunately, again, I can't tell you what they are. But trust me, there have been some changes being made. Quitters never win, winners never quit. And we'll come back and tell you about those changes in about a month's time.
Now, I have a question from BungieWare, not the real Bungie, but BungieWare about, but it's about online. I'll ask it anyway, just in case you possibly can answer it. It says, there hasn't ever been a system for playing 2v2 online with 4 players on 4 different consoles without using online team play custom lobbies that can't restrict player count. If I want to play over XBL with a mate of mine, we have to jump through all these hoops, and it usually ends up taking 15 minutes on average to get a game going. Any different online play, like team setup things you guys are doing you can tell us about?
So, again, I can't tell you about any of the online features. There is some new and cool features online, though, so I want you to know I'm not just brushing this off. You need to come back and check with us at a later date, and we can tell you all about those cool features. As for getting a game, I'll tell you that I do know that our guys are working hard to try and improve the matchmaking system so that we don't have so many problems getting games online as we did last year.
What's your favorite part about FIFA 12? What's your personal favorite thing that's in FIFA 12?
Ooh, that's tough. Well, I really like how the tactical defending has changed the way the game is. It's fundamentally different, but it's hard to just single that out as my favorite thing. Let me see if I can give you a little bit of a lesser known. Well, I'll tell you one of the cool things I like in dribbling. So we didn't get to talk much about precision dribbling, but there's a lot of other cool things happening in dribbling as well. And one of my favorites is something that we've been calling either evasive dribble turns or contextual dribble turns. There's no real coined name for them. But basically, it's the ability for you to recognize a defender in front of you right after you beat him with a 45 or a 90-degree dribble turn and have your player jump out of the way. And the reason I like him is because it makes dribbling on the left stick a lot more fun. It looks realistic because you don't have the dribbler running into the defender right after knocking a ball just by his foot. And it really makes those players like Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo come to life on the ball. And all the work that we've been doing in personality over the last few years seems to have come to life because of that feature, and allows you to really try and get on the ball with some of the best dribblers in the world.
Cool deal. I would like to think our time is up. My last question was going to be, why are you guys better than Pro Evolution Soccer? But I'm pretty sure you got the PR guy would immediately hang up the phone if I asked you that question. I'll go ahead and try it. Why are you guys better than Pro Evolution Soccer?
I think that's up to our fans to decide if we're better or not.
Are you guys worried? Do you guys have a copy there? Are you worried about them at all? Or are you like, cares about those guys?
Like, we are always conscious of what Pro Evo is doing. Obviously, Pro Evo is a long-standing franchise, and they've made a lot of great games. So we're always conscious of what they're doing, just like they're always conscious of what we're doing. So I think that's the best thing about it, is you get two great games in a category, and we really push the bar on each other. Them being there makes us know that we can't slow down, and we need to keep pushing the bar.
Competition makes everybody better.
I'm sure we're pushing them hard too.
Yeah, competition makes everybody better. I want to thank you, Mr. McCarty, Aaron McCarty, gameplay producer from EA up in EA Canada. FIFA 12 gets released October 11th in the United States. Is that right?
Not sure we've confirmed the date yet either.
I tried to trick you there. Oh well. You're good. FIFA 12 coming soon. Be there or be square for the PS3, the 360, and the PC. I'm sure you guys still doing a PS2 version, right? And the PS2 version.
I believe so. I'm not entirely positive on that. It's not being done by my team. We focus on the next gen platforms.
Cool deal.
So I can't really answer that.
Okay. Please. If you're playing FIFA 12. FIFA 12 on a PS2. Save your money and buy a PS3 or an Xbox. Or Wii. No, don't buy a Wii. I'm sorry. I'm just joking. Hopefully, we'll get to talk to you later. Thank you very much. Anything you want to say before we let you go? Before we let you get back to making the most popular game in the world?
Yeah, just thanks to everybody who's a fan. Keep writing on the forums. We do listen, and we do hear your concerns, and love the feedback when we do things right. So tell us when we're doing the things good, too. And, thanks for being a fan.
Hey, thanks.
And if you got more questions, fire them our way, Derek. We'll get them answered.
Will do. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, Derek.